Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and this is a super exciting episode because if you are looking to train for an ultra marathon or you're currently training and you are looking for the best tips and principles and strategies to help you craft an effective and smart training program, this is the episode for you because we're talking with Coach Liz Myers. Now, Liz is not only a USCA certified ultra running coach, she's not only an accomplished ultra runner who has won her most two recent ultra marathons, namely the Forgotten 50 miler and also the Krumzoon 50K as well, and she also has other ultra finishes too. But Liz was actually my first client on the Everyday Ultra racing team as well. And so taking all of this knowledge and taking all this experience, she actually is an ultra running coach under the Everyday Ultra brand. So yes, that's an exciting announcement here is that we have added Liz to our roster of coaches here. So she's going to come on and share a little bit about herself, a little bit about her training, a little bit about what led to, you know, her going from not really having a running background to ultimately being someone who is not only competing well at the sport, but winning ultra marathons and how you can do it as well. And by the way, if you are interested in working with Liz as your coach through the Everyday Ultra brand, and by the way, if you've been interested in working with me, although my current roster is currently full, Liz is 100% trained up on me. She was my very first client. She will give you the same results as if you were working with me. I have made sure that through diligent training and, you know, she's been under my wing and has been a mentee for months and months and months now. And she is open up for clients who are looking to train for their next 50K or 50 miler. So if you are planning on training for a 50K or 50 miler and would like to work with the coach under the Everyday Ultra brand and you would like to work with Liz directly, feel free to email me at everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. Mention that you'd like to work with Liz and we can set up a call, an intro call together to get to know each other. And Liz only has about a few spots open, so it is first come, first serve. If you are on the wait list for me and you are training for a 50 miler or 50K, you do get first priority as well. But either so, please reach out if you are interested for sure. We can get you set up for Liz. And if you are training for 100K or above, that would be working with me or a future coach that we bring up with 100 miler. So if you are interested in that too and would like to get on the wait list for when openings open up, also email me as well and we'll put you on that wait list. So let's get into this episode with Liz. But actually, before we dive into this episode, real quick here, want to give a shout out to a game-changing product that has been monumental in my training over the past Cocodona block that I've been doing. Now, Cocodona is a 250-mile race. When you're racing 250 miles, your legs are going to get sore. And let me tell you, I've been on some pretty long runs that usually would make me sore. But in this whole training block, I haven't gotten sore from a training run once. And I credit a lot of that, not only to the great training, but also I've been using this product called PlayOn Pain Relief Spray. And it is an all-natural topical pain relief spray that is super easy to carry on your long runs, put in your car if you're using it as your aid station, but on the go. But it's all natural ingredients. You spray it on, you don't have to rub it in. And what it does is not only cools the skin, but it actually goes deep inside the muscles and the joints to target the inflammation at the source, instantly reducing any pain, any soreness, any inflammation that you have. So you can not only recover better, but you can also get on your long runs much stronger, bounce back quicker, and feel much more stronger out there. I know when I raced Istria 110K 2 weekends ago, and I was super wrecked midway through just because I had, gone into it not tapered off of a full training week. My legs weren't functioning as normal, but I did take PlayOn during the middle of the race when I knew I had to kick it, and I was able to even split the race, which is super, super crazy for 100K. And I credit a lot of that, you know, not only to the great training that I put in, but also PlayOn for keeping my legs safe. So if you are looking to reduce soreness, bounce back quickly, and ultimately perform better on your runs and recover stronger, go to playonrelief.com or go to the link in the show notes. Use code EverydayUltra at checkout to get 20% off your order. That's going to playonrelief.com. Use code EverydayUltra at checkout for 20% off your order. All right, everybody. Hope you try PlayOn, and let's get into this episode with Coach Liz Myers. I'd love to introduce the one and only Liz Myers, the Everyday Ultra Podcast. Liz, thanks so much for coming on and super stoked to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure having you on too and seeing your growth from when we first started working together to now a coach to winning your first 50 miler, which is amazing. And, you know, winning, you know, Kroom Zoom, like you've had a winning streak this year, which is amazing and just so cool to see. And you're training for Javelina 100 as well, which is amazing, which I'm sure we'll talk about too. But before we dive into like the tips and the training and what's helped you, so anyone listening can help to take into their own training as well, like tell us a little bit about you, how you got into the sport of running, because I always think it's so cool to see the backgrounds, and I'm sure a lot of other people can relate to on, you know, where you got into this crazy journey of ultra running.
Yes, definitely. So I am one of those that got into running during COVID. During the time I was living with my sister, she has four kids. And our exercise was doing workouts at home, and she would always go run a mile. I am and was definitely an avid biker at the time. And she's like, if you start running, it will get you so much better in biking. I'm like, I'm not going to run. But finally, I did end up running. And we would go out and run a mile as fast as we possibly could. we did that for months. Me, her, and her husband, that's all we did was just go run a mile, and that was it. And then she randomly signed us up for a 10K, me and her. And then I actually had to start running more than a mile. So that was a little daunting. And then ever since, I've been addicted and I have continued to increase the mileage. And now hoping to run 100 miles the end of this year.
Oh, that's so awesome. It's so cool. Like how, like, you know, for so many people, like in the ultra running world, sometimes it comes upon like happenstance, right? Like it was just COVID, it was just something fun that you did with your family. And then all of a sudden it kind of snowballs into this crazy thing where you're towing the line to run 100 miles in one day, which is crazy. What like got you to like dive deeper into the longer distances, right? Because I know I think a lot of people in running, I think most people over the past few years, like it kind of, you know, become like a marathon specialist or half marathon. And there's like the far few, and anyone listening on here is just like the awesome people, awesomely crazy people to go further for that. So what drove you to kind of go past the marathon distance into the ultra marathon kind of world?
I've always been someone that wants to do something different or exceed from what other typically people would go after. And I remember hearing about a 10K. I'm like, there's no way I can run a 10K. And so, you know, you do that. And then we signed up that night for a half marathon. And then once we did the half marathon that night, I signed up for a marathon. And once I did my marathon, I kind of was like, that's okay. Then I found ultra and I was like, just blown away. I'm like, people run more than 50 miles, 100 miles. I couldn't believe it. And the more I like invested in social media and like found certain people, you being one of them, I was like, wow, like this is a community and there's a lot of people out there. Like I would love to get into it. So I randomly found a 50K and just signed up for it and decided to train myself and go after it.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. So it was the pursuit of just going further and wanting more and like really wanting to like find the outer limits of like what was possible, right?
Yes, mentally and I mean, even physically. I think we can do so much more than what we think we can, especially mentally. And I've learned that from, you know, my own training and doing a 50K, a 50 miler. I never thought I could actually do it, you know, and I even questioned myself a few times, but when you're out there, you go through the ups and downs and it's just pushing yourself mentally to get through to it. And that to me is what gets me going. It makes me want to do it. You know, the thought that I could struggle and then get through it and continue going is what makes me want to run further and further.
Oh, that is awesome. And I'm assuming like you probably got that like as you were going through the marathon and then the 50K, almost like asking that question, like, what if, like, what's next kind of stuff. And I love how like when you did the half marathon, like you signed up like right away for the next goal and stuff like that. Yeah. Like it wasn't like a, let me think about it. Like you were like that night signing up for a race further distance, right?
Yeah. And I always blame it on the runner high, but now I do it anytime. I'm like, I need a race. Let me go find one.
Oh my gosh. And funny story for anyone listening too. Like when Liz and I were working together, she was in the build for her first 50 miler. And what was super funny was like, we had potentially threw out the idea of Javelina 100, like no committed to it. And I remember signing up myself that night and I was like, let me look at the entrance list. And I remember seeing Liz's name on the list. And I remember texting her being like, oh my gosh, like you signed up for Javelina. Like that was like such a cool thing. I'm curious, like what got you to do it in that moment? Cause like, I mean, even just for me and you, like we floated the idea around, it was kind of like a maybe thing. Like what kind of led to that decision? And what I'd love for you to kind of shine a light on is I think sometimes it can be very easy to look at something daunting, like 100 miles or daunting, even like 50 miles or 50K or, you know, even a marathon. And, you know, I kind of had some hesitation, but you had no hesitation. You kind of went up there. So like what kind of drives you to like get maybe past like those barriers if you face them, or maybe if not face them, like just what's your approach on just pulling the trigger on, you know, big races like this?
Well, I definitely did want to do a 100 miler because I have a further goal, which you know about, that I want to run a 200 miler down the road. So, you know, I already had my 50 miler signed up and I was looking for races out here by me for 100 miles, but I couldn't really find anything. And then you planted the seed for Javelina. I looked into it. I kept looking into it. I'm like, this looks like so much fun. I'm a huge Halloween nerd. So I was like, you know, you can't go wrong there. And I've always wanted to live in Arizona or visit and then live in Arizona. So seeing that it was in Arizona, it's a great excuse to go out there and to be able to run 100 miles out there around Halloween. I was just like, I have to do it. So I thought about it forever. And then the night of the sign up, I was like, you know what? I'll wake up. I'll sign up. If I get in, I get in. If I don't, it's not meant to be. And I got in. So
that's awesome. And what gave you like the, like, what was it? Was it just like a no brainer kind of decision, just giving all the factors, or like, were you nervous at all signing up for it? Like what kind of was going through your head?
Say that I don't feel nervous. I'm sure I will closer to training. Once I get a little like more, hey, you're going to run 100 milers or run 100 mile. But it all like fascinates me knowing so many people do it. I don't have a doubt that I can't do it. It's just a matter of how well I'm going to do it. You know, I'm not one to compare myself to others. I don't like try to beat other people, but I definitely want to be the best person that I can be. So the fact that I ran 50 miles and it was a horrible, it was a wonderful race, don't get me wrong, but a horrible, rainy, muddy situation. And I had a few downs, I had a few ups, but no matter what, like I got it done. So it makes me really confident, but like ready for a 100 miler.
Mm. And by the way, folks, she won that race too. So like when she said she had like a few downs and a few ups, she also had a big up at the end for holding that first place trophy for females, which is amazing. So, but I love that you like borrow those past experiences for like what you'd accomplish at those things to help to give you the confidence going forward, which I think is a huge, huge asset as well. Talk to me, I guess, like about like maybe the biggest training lessons along the way, right? So on the Everyday Ultra podcast, we always love talking about training and the principles, and like you're a coach as well. So I guess like compare your first 50K training block to then your next 50K training block, because the next 50K training block, like you won that as well too. Mm-hmm. And what was super cool with like winning that race, so like it wasn't even like a goal race. It was like a tune-up race, like for the larger thing too. So talk to me, I guess, about like the biggest kind of training shifts that you did from your first 50K to your second 50K that really helped to level up your performance that, you know, anyone listening who's looking to level up their training can implement in their own too.
Yeah, definitely. My first 50K, I truly had no clue what I was doing. I don't even think I did much interval work, and I definitely didn't know anything about VO2 training or a threshold. I just went out and maybe ran fastish for a mile or two and then would take it easy for a minute or two. I genuinely just kind of wanted to go out and run. I planned my longest run, I think, to be a marathon. And then just eventually went out, did a little taper, and I went and did the race. I wouldn't say I did horrible, but I definitely didn't do that great. But it gave me an understanding of going past that 26 miles. And I knew what that felt like. I went through some crazy ups and downs. I actually just saw a video that I found from a year ago, because it was a year ago that I ran the race. And oh, I was hurting. So it made me laugh. I have to post it because it is truly funny. I talk about the horrible hills out there, and there's no hills out there. It's pretty flat, but I never really ran trail. So that was a big whoopsie on my end. But the biggest probably takeaway that I learned going from, you know, training myself, obviously I got a coach, and thank you very much, Joe, for being the greatest coach ever. But I learned that not to do my training based off of mileage and go over time, especially like time on feet. I've had a few runs that didn't go as planned, but I sucked it up and just walked it, you know, like just went through it and got my hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hours done and focused on that time on feet instead of that I need to go for a 5 mile run or I need to go for a 6 hour or 6 mile run, whatever that might be. Honestly, like hands down, probably my biggest takeaway. And then also including different types of interval training. I know I haven't really dabbled too much myself personally doing VO2 training, which I'm very excited to get into for Javelina. But it was the fact of throwing in some solid interval work, some solid steady state. I'd never done anything like that before. And probably doing or getting away from heart rate. I was one of those runners that was so focused on my heart rate. I swear I have a higher heart rate than other people, but I'm sure everyone says that has a high heart rate. But I was so focused on my heart rate being, oh, it's over 150. I need to slow down. Or why is my heart over 150? I definitely don't feel like it, you know? And then when I switched over to the rate of perceived effort, instantly, like I don't look at my heart rate anymore when I run. And I've noticed that my heart rate is a lot lower. Like it's, I think it's that out of mind type deal. I'm just focused on how I'm feeling. Cause if I'm breathing calmly and I can have a conversation and or sing to myself, I know I'm in the right 2 to 3 RPE, you know? So learning the RPE has also tremendously changed my training, which has been awesome.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned something that's just been like really, it's kind of like a catch 22 with like the heart rate thing. It's like you train by heart rate and you know, it's really sometimes tough to make progress, but then you can switch to RPE and you actually like run a similar pace with a lower heart rate, like down the line, like just by going off RPE. So it's kind of like a catch 22 in a sense, which I think blows a lot of people's minds who goes on, you know, RPE training and, you know, ends up seeing like a lower heart rate anyways.
Yes, 100%. I'm a numbers person. So I was so focused, like, oh, my heart rate's so high, or, you know, running and literally looking at my watch every 5 seconds. So it's just nice to not have that like steady state in your mind of like, oh, where's your heart rate at? Where's your heart rate at? Because I'm more worried about how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. And same with, I'm sure, like to also relate back to the time and the mileage thing. It's like, you know, I have to get in 18 miles. I have to get in this stuff as well. And like, maybe you're moving a little bit slower and it's like, you try and like push the pace a little bit more because like you're trying to get in the mileage on like the certain time. I'm sure that also like kind of like helped even just mentally just kind of get over it too. So it's not even just like the physical things you're saying. It's also like just the mental thing of little, almost like being able to fully dive into the training without having all these mental hangups. I'm like, I need to get in 18 miles and you know, you're kind of doing calculations on time and then yes, I need to look at the heart rate and all those kind of things too. Right.
Living a busy life is hard to adjust to. Oh, I need 18 miles. If I run at this pace and that, so having the time, like, oh, I know my long runs for 4 hours, like, boom, I block a 4 hour block and I go run it. And then I know the rest of the day when I needed to get done. So that has saved me tremendously, which was a game changer.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And like, that is just so cool to see. And like you said, like you're busy too. Like you have a job, like you have a partner and like you have two also fur babies too, as well, who are also, I'm sure as anyone knows who raises puppies is no small order for sure. And what's just been super cool working with you is like, you've just been so deadly consistent. And like, I know too, like, it's like, you know, we text, we talk, we communicate through things like, you know, you do not have a open life in terms of just like free time, abundance, like all over the things, but you still get it done. So how do you find to be like super consistent, like even when like life seems chaotic and things like that? Like how do you like make the time to make that running happen, like even amidst a busy life, as a lot of people listening to this podcast probably have?
Yeah, I'm sure 90 to 95% of the people that listen to this podcast are busy and can relate. And I really think for me personally, it boils down to like what I want most and what is really important to me. I mean, my family, my career, my job, it's all very, very important to me. But like personally to me, like what makes me happy and what means a lot to me and what do I want to achieve well in life? And running is definitely a part of that. So with me, I actually wake up at 3:30 in the morning and go run first thing in the morning because I know I need to get it done. Now, with that being said, I also do go to bed early because I have to get up so early. So it's, you know, beg and choose. You know, you could stay up or go sleep in and go stay up later, but then I'd be worried that I wouldn't get it in. You know, I always want to make sure my run gets in. And if I can't get it in, then I definitely adjust all of my schedule to make sure I can get it in later in the day. It's just a priority to me. So I always try to prioritize it.
I love how you use the word priority there. Cause like, I think something that I always say is like, it's never that you don't have time to do things. It's just, you're not prioritizing it. And so yeah. It's like, you want to look at your priorities, look at your calendar, and that will determine like what your priorities are in the moment. And so like, I love how you use that word prioritization. Cause like, if it's a priority, it will happen. And I think that's just amazing that you put that out there and make that happen too, which is super, super cool. So you talk about, I guess, like the strategies and training and things like that too. Like, I guess, talk to me like a little bit about like what kind of maybe some of your peak weeks were in training, like training up for the 50 miler and specifically like, and obviously I'd love to hear about like the race and how that kind of went. I mean, of course I know how it went because obviously we were talking. I'm talking more so for the people here and open up the cover, but talk to me about, I guess, like about like your peak kind of training going into a 50 miler. And the reason why I ask this question is because this is a question I get commonly all the time. What's my longest long run going to be like? What is my peak week looking like? Like, when is the peak week looking like on there? So kind of like pulling back like a little bit of a nitty gritty on training. And obviously we can go through all the pieces, but I think this is a topic that, you know, gets asked about the most. So walk me through kind of like what your peak week was like in training for the Forgotten 50.
Okay. So first we have to say that everyone's longest run is always going to be different. Not everyone is going to be the same. So mine, I was really focusing on nutrition. I had a little bit of a hiccup on my 50K at the Crimson. And so I wanted to really dial that in. And so during my peak week, I'm pretty sure I went out for a 6-hour long run. And I just focused on eating more because I was a little, I think I was kind of getting over the gels. They can become very nasty over time. So I incorporated some other of my nutrition that I knew would kind of work. I just want to make sure it did. I want to get everything dialed in. And actually during that long run, that was a really bad long run for me. So I do remember walking almost the last like hour and a half. It was just a bad day, a bad time. And that happens. So I made sure that I just walked through it and I kept going. I wanted to continue to get that 6 hours and to eat, to get all that in my stomach and just see how it handled, and everything ended up going well. But the biggest takeaway for me during that peak week was like making myself do that workout, even though mentally, like I wasn't there, I was struggling and going through, I think I was just sleep deprived, which does happen. But the best thing that I could have taken away was that I didn't give up, you know? So during that 50 miler, when I was struggling, I was like, listen, you walked because you had to, because mentally you couldn't do it. Like, you can get through this. You can run through this, and it all worked out through the end.
So like you utilize like you getting through that peak week, like in that run, like in the middle of that 50 miler, like remembering back to be like, oh, that sucked, but I still got through it. So in this moment, like that's going to help, like that gave you the fuel to keep going as well, right?
Yes, 100%. And I do that all of the time, honestly. In a lot of my races, when things get bad and I'm mentally like struggling, or I'm like, oh, you can just walk, it's not a big deal, I will like talk myself, like, remember when you did this, like you got through that, or you overcame that little hiccup, and you know, oh, my knee's killing me. Well, it's killing you. Yeah, but it's going to stop and eventually just work it through. It's just a little niggle, or, you know, it's just a little hiccup, and things will get better if you continuously go. Mind you, if something is like over pain, you know, overly painful, then obviously I would stop. But majority of the time, they're just little hiccups that your mind's playing tricks on you.
Yeah, 100%. And like someone told me like this one quote, and I thought it was just so good, was that like, it's not your body that's telling you to stop. It's your mind making it up that your body needs to stop, but it's really your mind trying to stop it. Like, and so I think it's like just such an interesting thing too. Now, obviously, like too, like you said, like if you're, you know, pushing up against injury, that's like where you want to stop too. But it's like recognizing that the mind's like usually playing tricks on you when your body can go so much further is such an important point for sure.
Yeah. I feel like your mind is always trying to protect you. So if you're doing something extreme, your mind's gonna be like, listen, you need to walk, or this is hurting you, you need to stop. You know, in reality, it's just trying to protect you from I don't know, maybe it thinks it's going to die. I'm not 100% sure, but it just wants you to slow down and calm down. In reality, you can push past so much more if you just mentally work it out and continue to go.
Mm-hmm, 100%. And I think it's like the recognition, that's the word, recognition of that. Jeez,
we're both struggling today, come on.
Oh man, I know. It's just, I need a little bit more caffeine on here. But it's the recognition that like our brain is trying to slow us down. It's kind of acting like a governor that like can really help us through, which like, I mean, to you and like, first of all, not even just the 50 miler, but when you did Kroom and won that race too, that was also just crazy rain. Conditions, yeah. Muddy, and then like you went through and won that one, and then like the 50 miler was just like still similar conditions, crazy. There were sections with mud that was just like so deep. Yeah, so like in unideal circumstances, like with races, right? Like how did you approach that? Because I think it can be so easy to like get into like train for a race and like I'll give you an example. Like here in Arizona, for the most part, it's like ideal conditions. Like we rarely have a day where it's rainy. And so like, if it ever rained, like the day of Javelina, like it's like, oh shoot. Like, or even Black Canyon 100K, right? Like it was snowing, it was muddy, like just different conditions out there. Like, how did you approach it with those two situations? Like knowing that the course was going to be unideal conditions.
Well, with Florida, there is a rainy season here. And honestly, half of the trails are swampy and or really, really muddy anyway. Mm. And this race is known to have mud. I did know that going into it. I did know there was two water crossings too. That's kind of why I signed up for it. I wanted to try something outside of my comfort zone for sure. Mm. But I did not expect the Shinhai mile to 2 mile run, which you had to dig your legs out of the mud. It was insane. But I just genuinely wanted something to be a little difficult. And that's why I chose that race up there. I've heard a few things about it and everyone was saying it's a harder race. And in the time of the race, I think majority of the time, like I just keep telling myself, like, you chose to do this race. Like, you're going to do it. Unless something is really, really bad and you need to DNF, like you chose to pick this race. You had the opportunity to pick other races, but you wanted to challenge yourself. So prove yourself right, you know, and just get your butt through the thing, whatever it is. I remember genuinely hugging a tree, trying to pull myself out of the mud because I was just stuck. And there was a guy behind me like dying laughing. I'm like, just keep going. Like, I'm fine. It was wild.
Oh my gosh. But I think it's like, I love it. You like reminded yourself to be like, this is why you signed up for it. Like, this is what you wanted. Like, and recognizing that, like, even in the moment where you're like pulling your feet out of like the mud and stuff, and like it's hard and stuff, like reminding the reason why you're out there, which is, I think, just a super powerful tool for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just like, not everyone gets to run, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I get to run. And I just always like, I choose to do this. I get to do this. It's never like, oh, I have to go run. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes during training runs, I'm like, ugh, I don't really want to go run, but I'm gonna, you know. But when you're out there racing, you get to do it, you know, you have the opportunity to do it. And then you chose to do it because you wanted to torture yourself for a little while.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, yeah, it's like when you recognize that, like the punishment, quote unquote, that you're kind of giving yourself is almost like self-inflicted in the end of the day. You're like, oh, like, yes, this makes it a lot easier to kind of get through because this is exactly what I wanted. Like, if it was easy, like, that's not why we do it. Like, we wouldn't do it if it was like an easy thing, right? So like, we sign up for these big things. So I love like the reminder of that in the moments. That can really, really help a ton for sure. What are some other like mental stuff that you do out there, like on a race or even in, you know, like you said, like in those long runs where it just gets really hard or anything like that? Like, what are some like mental tools that you have in your toolkit that maybe you would suggest for other athletes to use in case, you know, they ever get into situations, whether it is on a long run or in the middle of a race, that you know, they need to pull out their disposal? Maybe you're listening to this on a long run, maybe you're listening to this on like a race, that you can like practice that right now. But curious to hear what comes to mind for you.
Majority of the time, I'm always trying to tell myself, like, you know, you thought you could do this, you're gonna do it, you chose to do it, so you're gonna prove yourself and you're gonna do it. I also highly talk to myself, like, not in a vulgar or demeanor way, but I will tell myself, like, you got this, like, you can push through this, you can, you know, go up this little hill, you can run down this decline, like whatever the case may be. And sometimes I may get a little on the meaner side and to call myself some a few things just to be like, come on, like, you know, don't be a little bitch. You got this. You can keep going, you know. But it's to me, it's very mental. And I always try, like, if I know if I need to be talked to and like, you got this, keep going. Don't be a little, you know, you got this. And I'll definitely do that. If there's other situations where maybe I'm a little more emotional, I will try to be nicer to myself, you know, like, hey, you can do this. There's no worries in the world. You just need to finish it. There's no competition. You know, you just need to do this to prove to yourself that you want to finish this. And it just depends on the race and the long run, because I've had a few long runs that mentally, I mean, I've cried during a run and I don't even know why. And it just comes and I just let it, you know, I let myself cry and I'm like, listen, you'll get through this and you'll do what you have to do. And when you're good, you'll be fine and you'll continue to run. So they're not all rainbows and butterflies. So.
Yeah. And I appreciate you being open that too. Cause I think like, even like for me too, like I, you know, and I post about my runs and like on Strava and things like that. And too, and I think it can be so easy to look at like anyone's runs, whether it's like, you know, a professional athlete or something like that, but every single athlete has bad runs and bad workouts and things like that. Like every single person does. And I will say that if someone goes through an entire training block and they don't have a bad workout, one of two things happening is either number one, they're lying, or number two, they might not even be pushing enough. And I'm not saying like push to the point where you're having bad workouts, but like, you know, it might be just be so easy to the point where, you know, you're not even pushing the stimulus as well. So it's like, I think like you even sharing that, even me on here sharing that, like, I mean, I shared with the entire team like 2 weeks ago how I had like the crappiest workout of like all time. And like, you know, like, and I shared that to say like, hey, like if you have a bad workout, if things aren't right, like that's okay. And like that even in itself, like you even getting through the workout or finishing in that, like that can be the fuel like going forward as well. But anyways, like I want to kind of go back to your point on like the self-talk. So like you basically modify your self-talk and the tone and like the language that you use based on the current situation, which I think is fascinating because I think it can be so easy to just think about this is my standard set of mantras or how I talk to myself, but in different moments, it probably doesn't land as powerful as it would depending on how you're feeling, correct?
Yes, 100%. Like I'm pretty sure I told you this one time when I was going through down, like it wasn't like downhill because in Florida it's flat. There's nothing really like downhill. But I remember Sally McRae always saying like, don't use effort going downhill. So I just blew down the downhill and I'm like, I don't know why my quads are so on fire. And you're like, well, it's because you just went downhill. You didn't like control it or anything like that. I'm like, oh, well, that's because I've listened to this. And you know, it's I'm not blaming her for it by any means, but it's little mantras that I at the time was like, oh, just don't use energy, just flow through this, just flow through this, you know, tiny steps, flow through. And you know, in other situations where I know, you know, like for my first half marathon, there was hills and it was actually going over bridges. And the whole time we got up to a bridge, I was like, your mama gave you these long legs to get up this bridge. Cause I got the longest legs ever. So I was just, you know, like little things like that. Like it made me giggle, but at the same time, it lightened the mood and it got me over the hills or over the bridges. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. And I like the things too that make you laugh sometimes when you're in the dark moments or anything like that, which is like super cool. And like, yeah. And you, like you and they are the best. Like sometimes like some mantras are very misplaced, right? Like if one of your mantras, I'm just saying, is like pedal to the metal. Like you're not going to tell yourself that like mile 15 in a 100-mile race. Like that is just like, you do not want to be going pedal to the metal like at that time as well. And I think that's like, you know, everyone talks about like mantras and ultra running, which I think are just so powerful. And I think people can have it in there, but it's like, you got to place the right mantra in the right setting in order for it to be not only just effective and resonant to you, but also like for what you need to execute in the given moment as well. So like, I love that you gave that example in the downhills, like in the beginning, flow through it. Like, and then like, once you get to the later, like, yeah, like just rip into the downhills or, you know, lean into your body into it. Like, I like how you have that conscious kind of placing of different things in there as well, which is just super, super awesome. I would love to kind of like, maybe like take a little bit more high level, I guess, in terms of like your overall kind of like approach to training and then approach to, you know, the racing in general. And obviously I know, you know, we've been working together and kind of fallen under like the Everyday Ultra, like philosophy and stuff like that too. But like from like a training perspective, like what does like good training mean to you? Like if you were to define like what good training is, and obviously we can talk about like good racing too, but like, and I guess good is a terrible word. Great. We don't want good training. Fuck good. We want great training. What does great training mean to you when in consideration for like an ultra marathon? Like if you were to kind of put the pieces together, and you named like a few things, right? RP and all that kind of stuff. But I would love to hear like your kind of philosophy on that.
Definitely slowing down. I feel like everyone, I was included, is going out super hard and just not blowing up, but being way too exhausted. So like just having that reality check of if you're running your slow or your easy runs easy, because I feel like majority of people are not. And once I started to incorporate definitely myself, it just was a game changer for me. I, you know, had the time to realize like, listen, I can run a lot further if I just slow down. So that ability to get in the different RPEs where you're having your slow and easy, and then you're, you know, if you do a steady state or a tempo run or get up into the 8-9 and do the VO2 max type training, it's just understanding your body when you run to know this is an easier run compared to something that's a little harder, and actually doing what you're being told to do through coaching, you know what I mean? And just being very honest and open with your coach. Like you know, to know like, hey, I'm definitely running this, but in reality, I'm telling you I'm running a 2-3, but I'm huffing and puffing the whole time. You know, like that communication with coaching has, you know, been a game changer to understand myself with running a lot better, if that makes sense. And just having that endurance block be a legit buildup where you're adding up the volume, but that intensity is going down. That was another game changer for me, is realizing that I can't go very fast and very far at the same time. I had to slow down and increase my volume slowly to get to where I want to be. That I did a 2-week taper and knocked out 50 miles and I felt great. Mind you, not so much after, but during that 50 miles, I had no issues. You know what I mean?
Hey everybody, just wanted to take a quick break in this episode because I partnered with a company recently that has just been a game changer when it comes to clothing and apparel that I'm wearing on my long runs. And the one thing that I get frustrated with when it comes to running gear or apparel in general is when it doesn't last long. Whether it rips, tears, or just wears away, it sucks to have to keep buying new stuff. Plus, doing that isn't sustainable for the planet. But I recently started trying this gear that lasts long, has a 5-year guarantee, is super comfortable, has extremely fun colors, which is so important, right? And helps to support clean water programs around the world. The gear is from John G, and you gotta check them out. They make high performance running apparel such as shorts, tanks, shirts, jackets, and more, all built to explore the world on the run. Not only do they have a 5-year guarantee where they will replace any product that wears away, but their stuff is super comfortable, breathable, and easy to move in, especially in the winter months when you're bundled up a ton. Plus, 2% of their sales go towards nonprofits working on viable clean water solutions, so it's a way to give back and feel good about where your money is going. They have super bright colors and artwork designed by talented artists all across the world, so you'll stand out on the trail, which is, like I said, one of the most important things. My favorite products have been the Transit Tech Short and the Run All Day Tee. I like the Transit Shorts because they're lightweight, easy to move on my runs, especially when I'm climbing hills or doing faster efforts, because they don't have a liner. And when you don't have a liner, I feel like you can move around a lot better when it comes to doing these faster efforts on the trail. And I love the Run All Day Tee because it feels like you're barely wearing anything out there, which keeps you really, really cool on a hot day and doesn't feel like you're overwhelmed on a cold day as well. So it feels like you're not wearing anything that's holding you down. So I 100% suggest you try out John G's clothing. And if you're looking to test drive it, you can get 10% off your order when you use the code EverydayUltra at checkout at johng.com. That's spelled JANJI.com. Or you can go to the link in the show notes directly. Use code EverydayUltra to get 10% off your order. And if you're rocking John G in your next adventure, let me know and hope you give them a shot. All right, everybody, let's get right back into this episode here.
Yeah, 100%. And you made a really good point at the end there. It was like with the
two really great points. Number one is just slowing down and taking the easy runs easy. I think it's like the biggest mistake. And I think it's one of the biggest benefits of having a coach is like understanding if you're actually running easy, right? And it's interesting too, because even like for me, like my end, like, of course, like obviously it relies on like the person like being that they're easy. But then once you start throwing in like other like workouts, right? Like if you have athletes at like 2 to 3 RP and then you throw out like an 8 to 9 RP and you see like the difference between the two paces is not that much, then you're like, okay, something is off here, right? So it's always something where like I've seen like an 8 to 9 RP be very close to a 2 to 3, and I'm like, I think either one is too slow or one is too fast, right? So and usually it is the latter with the easy runs for sure. But you also like mentioned just like a real good point on like the intensity not building up into volume as well, because I think a lot of times people think like, oh, I'm building my workout, so I need to go more intense. And it's like that volume and intensity factor is very much a clash, where you know, people just increase volume at the same proportion of intensity. And that's just a one-way ticket to the PT office for sure.
100%. Yeah. And I also will have to say, realizing that your biggest focus to put towards the end of training instead of like throughout the whole training or the beginning of training, just realizing like if you have intervals or not intervals, but elevation or a harsher terrain, like necessarily don't have to focus on that right away or throughout the whole build. You more or less just need to focus that more towards the end instead of stressing about the whole entire build or the whole entire block. That was game changer. Cause I remember with you, I was like, listen, I need to run on trail. I don't ever run on trail. And that really bit me in the butt. So I need to figure this out. And you're like, oh, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah. And because I think like so many people like worry about like the specifics, like more so than the fitness. Now, if like someone hits like a thing and it's like, you know, you're already ready to run 50 miles and like you're running for like another 50 miler. And it's like, that's like, if that was the case and you came to me and like you were going for like another 50 mile, then I would have been like, yes, like let's go on trails because it's like a weakness on there. But it's like, I want to get you to run 50 miles first before we even focus on the specifics. Cause I think it's like when you get too focused up on the minutia of the specifics of the race and you throw out the baby with the bathwater and don't even focus on the fitness and the actual building of things, like that's where it can get like crazy. And even just like, listen to this podcast, like if you are going for like a very technical race, right? And let's just say like it's super technical, like most of your stuff, like if you don't, assuming you don't have the fitness, it's like you want to focus just more so on just getting your endurance built up. And sometimes if you're running on crazy technical stuff, you might not even like be like building the right fitness that you need to, you know, as well. Like, and so it's like getting your specifics more closer to the race is usually more beneficial because you have more of that upfront time to like build the fitness as well. So, and like, I think it's a similar thing with like incline training and everything like that. Now, again, if someone is going for another 100 miler and they did want a flat and then they want to go into incline training and they have the fitness, and it's like, yes, like let's focus on the specifics up front and the weaknesses. But I think that is just such a great point that, you know, is it's an interesting thing too, because I think it's like once you have the fitness down, like it doesn't matter how good you are at the specifics, if your fitness isn't ready to rock, like that race just ain't happening.
No, and I will say this right now. That was one of my biggest mantras, is fitness is king. Fitness is king. If you can do that, like you have the fitness, you build it. Like I had all the prior history from all of my training to be like, your fitness is where it needs to be. And that was something I took from you, is I just remember you saying that. I think it was honestly on a podcast and I was like, fitness is king. Like if I can know I did all of my workouts, I'm fit. I'm here. I'm ready. I can do it. So that was definitely something I like a mantra of mine that I use all the time.
Oh, I love to use that mantra because it is so important. Fitness is king, right? Because it's like if you are fitter, you're going to be a better climber. If you are fitter, you're going to run better on the descents. If you are fitter, you are going to, you know, be able to run a faster time. Like it's just like anything, like besides like very technical stuff. Like, I mean, most of the technical stuff that you think of like can improve with fitness as well. Now, I'm not saying like, you know, you can get away with no incline and just, you know, run flat and then go up and, you know, go for like Leadville or Hard Rock or any of these like crazy stuff. You still have to practice that musculoskeletal specificity. But to Liz's point, it's like, you want to do, you don't have to focus on all that stuff up front and like just focus on the fitness and then the specifics. And then that will get in there as well. But like, regardless, if you do get fitter, even on flats, like you will do better on the climb. Like I remember the first time when I was training for Javelina, like I trained mostly on flat stuff. Then I remember training for Canes 100K. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to go rough. It's my first time climbing in a while. And I remember just barreling up those hills. And I was like, what in the hell? And it was just because like all the fitness that I had built up, which is nuts. And so, yeah, of course, like getting in that stimulus is good, but I'm glad that you, you mentioned that as well. Kind of shifting gears into like race, kind of like what defines like a great race strategy for you, or how to approach a race in a great way? Because your last two results have been amazing. I mean, like you were the best female athlete on the field on both of those days, which is great. So what would you say like are the key ingredients for having a great race for anyone who's listening to this podcast? Either they're in a race right now, or they're preparing for a race, or in a long run for a race. Like what defines a great race for you?
I will have to go with another mental thing, is knowing that I did all of the work for it. Just knowing I was prepared mentally and physically because I'd put in all that time. Knowing, you know, I knocked out all of my runs, I did all of my stretching, I got my strength training in, and just knowing that genuinely the fitness was there was such a good confidence booster. And honestly, for my 50K, I had no intention on going out hard. It was pouring, raining. I was just like, you know what, you're going to go out and have a good run. I just had fun, you know what I mean? And that was a big thing for me for that race, is I was having fun. And then I got word that I was first female, and then it was done. I was out for the horses. I was ready to go. So that's kind of how, but it was still fun for me, you know? And then the 50 miler, honestly, that race was just, I knew I wanted to get it done, and I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it in order so I could do 100 milers and then continue my goal. So knowing I had the solid work of training, and I genuinely felt wonderful. Like I just felt really fit. It would be, honestly be the best thing to say. I did all of my training, all of it went very, very well. And realizing that I could definitely do it with like, just gave me all of that confidence, I guess, needed.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's like your confidence is bred from like the training that you put in. You put in great training. Like I mentioned, like you were consistent, you showed up, you made it happen, you got it done. And like, it was in the getting it done that like allowed you to trust the training fully, which in turn allows you to trust yourself, which I think is just awesome. I think one of your biggest strengths is like, you have such a good ability to like trust the training, trust the process. Like that's just always been, I think, something for you, which has really allowed you to be a very, very great, you know, athlete in the sport and make progress and stuff. So it's like something I've always just extremely admired about you too. For some who is listening, who's maybe it's tougher to trust the process, or it's tougher to trust the training. And I hear it all the time. It's like, oh man, like, I want to do a little bit more like during this time or anything like that. Like what allows you to trust that training and process like a lot more? Like, I guess like what gives you the confidence to do so? Maybe someone like listening who's, you know, maybe getting closer to a race and they need to trust the training. Like what would be your piece of advice for someone to trust their training a little bit more?
Do you mean in the sense of like why I trust the training?
Or like how can you trust it, or why you trust it? I guess like that's also a good question too.
I know how you coach is science-based, and that's a real big thing for me. I'm a huge science nerd, and everything is not backed, but Jason Koop, what he's done for the ultra community, in my opinion, is phenomenal. And it's just knowing that like, I'm in good hands. Like I trust you, you're obviously my coach. And I honestly want to say it's just like trusting who I have as a coach has made the big difference. Like you are, not to toot your own horn, but you're great. You know what I mean? If I have a question, I come to you and you answer it as soon as possible. And you explain things to the point where I'm like, I probably don't need to know all of that, but you know, you make me feel comfortable enough that I'm like, I'm in good hands. You know what I mean? I remember when we first met, I think I questioned the crap out of you. I don't know, you know, I didn't know everything and anything, but I had a little bit of an idea, and I just kept asking questions, and you were on it. You know, you gave me all the information that I eventually was just like, I know I'm in good hands. So that was also a big, big thing for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all that. And I do know sometimes I like to give the verbose answers, which is always awesome. I was like trying to give as much information as possible, which is so funny. I think it's like a good thing. It's like when you know the training is right, like it's easy to trust. Like when you know you're training on like proven principles, like not just for me, not just for you, like not just for, you know, any elite athlete out there. It's like training principles that are like universally acclaimed by studies and science. And like, that is like the big thing. And it's like, I always like to, like it's and listen, like, I mean, people always ask all the time for me to share my experiences. I'm sure it's the same for you. It's like, what are the experiences like that you've gotten, Liz, and everything? And I know like that's like a lot of the questions I've asked on the podcast as well. But like in the end of the day, it's like when you are getting good training, it's best to like follow things that are like proven principles, not just for one person, two person, but like peer reviewed studies and everything. And yeah, shout out to Jason Koop, who's like very much revolutionized that in the coaching world, which I think is a very good thing as well. And so I think it's a good approach to those things as well too. Now, like when you're kind of like looking, you know, ahead for like, talk to me about how you kind of like set your goals. Like, because like you mentioned like 100 miles, like, you know, Javelina, and then like talking about 200 miles and everything like that. Like, and so for someone who's like looking to like map out their goals and everything, because I know you even mentioned, which like you kind of like snuck in there really quick, was like you did the 50 miler in the build for the 100 miler. And it's like, mm-hmm. I love that because you were like setting that goal up in support of another goal as well, which I think like is a very fulfilling kind of thing. So how do you define your goals? And maybe for someone who's getting new in the sport or they want to start to think long-term, like how do you approach that when you like kind of map out like your goals, not just one, your head, but two, three, like in the future when it comes to racing?
Definitely find like that race that scares you. That was, you know, for me, honestly was the 200. So no matter what, I've secretly been training for this 200, but you know, I know in order to do a 200, I would love to do a 100 miler. So that was like my big scary race. I'm not genuinely very scared of a 100 miler, but I'm terrified of 200. So that's where I was like, 200's daunting. Like, that's a long, long time. 100, I've just seen so many people do it now, sadly, that I know it's definitely doable and I'm excited to go through it. But I would recommend, you know, find that one goal that's daunting and then put it out far enough that you can properly train. I know with my 50 miler, I cut myself short a little. Like I just had a little bit of threshold and a big endurance. And there's nothing wrong with that. That was great. But I do want to work on my personal speed and just becoming an overall better runner. Like that's, I'm, you know, not looking to crush my 100 miler, but I want to become better. Like I want to be a better runner. And in order to do that, I wanted something a little further out there. So that's also why Javelina was intriguing to me, because it was not the beginning of this year. And it was enough time between, obviously. And I want 2025 to be when I run 200 miles. So with that being said, you know, I wanted my 50, I obviously had my 50 miler beginning of this year. My 100 miler was, I wanted to be at the end of this year, and then to have my 200 mile, depending on time and weather, it'll more than likely be end of 2025. And it, you know, it's just planning that goal and then kind of working backwards and making sure you can fit in things that you want, which I have already been looking at some, a little race or a few little races to put in before my 100 miler. So it's just, you know, that set the goal and backwards plan and get yourself there. And, you know, if you need help, ask around. You know, everyone in this ultra community has been amazing, you know, through your community, through you, and just random people that I've met on social media. Everyone's so giving and always up for giving information. I'm always here. People can always reach out. I'm always up to talk about running.
Oh, that's awesome. And I just love how you like make the stepping stones. There's one thing that you mentioned there that I absolutely loved, was that like you, like when you set these goals, like you have like a bigger purpose to it, and like kind of relates to like trusting the training. Cause it's like when you say those goals as like stepping stones to like your larger thing, you're not just training for this race in the specific block after that. It's like you see like almost like a, you know, 4 year, 5 year training block, like in the build to that. And it's like, damn, when you've been training for something for 5 years, like how could you not be confident, right?
Yep, exactly. And I secretively have a 5 year goal, but we don't have to go there.
we're not going that deep on there as well. But I love that. That
yet. But yeah, like it's always, in my opinion, you know, I always want to be better and I always want to do better, not for any other reason than to do good for myself. Like I'm not trying to beat anyone. I want to beat myself. You know, I want to see what my body can do and what my mind can do, because your mind can play some horrible tricks on you, but it can also be what gets you through some of the hardest points in life. So I want to see what the heck I can do.
Heck yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And that's like so awesome, like coming from someone who has like won races as well. It's like in the end of the day, like it's not about the win. It's not about the first place. It's about like seeing what you can do. And I love that. And I think that's awesome. And I think it's a very sustainable way to look at anything. And that doesn't even apply to whether or not you're, you know, competing or like whether you just want to like make it happen or if you're back of the packer, like in the end of the day, like I love how you put the emphasis on like doing best for you, showing what you're capable of. And I think that's like the very big self-sustainable kind of way that anyone can be in the sport very long term for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Well, this has been awesome. Like, I love all like the nuggets of information here and all the wisdom that you've had on there as well. And for anyone listening too, by the way, so Liz, as I mentioned before, she is our newest coach on the Everyday Ultra team. So obviously I'll ask her the last question that I've asked, you know, every single guest in this podcast. But before I do that, real quick, if you are like as impressed as you are by me with Liz, like listening to this podcast and, you know, really resonate with her and, you know, want her help in, you know, getting you towards a 50K or a 50 miler, she's currently taking on athletes for 50K and 50 mile distance. So if you are on the wait list too for Everyday Ultra, I will be sending out an email to let you know like that you have this option if you're training for 50K or 50 mile. But if you are interested in inquiring as well, please send an email to everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. Let me know that you're interested in working with Liz, and she's got limited availability. So if you are interested, I don't want to sound like, you know, used car salesman, but like act fast now, but like act fast now. Like this deal is only available now. But seriously, like reach out. Liz is amazing. There's a reason why I have her on as an Everyday Ultra coach, because like she's been consistent. She's super knowledgeable, super just down to earth, and will help you in your goals, because one of her big missions is helping other people as well too, which I guess before I even ask my last question, to ask you too, like what is like your big mission like with being a coach? Like what drives you to be a coach? Like what's kind of like your big motivation behind it?
Honestly, I want to see people do good. Like I want them at the end of the day to be so proud of themselves. And if I can help in any way possible, I'm down. Like I'm all about it. I've always loved helping anyone and everyone through life, through struggle. I've always been like in the fitness world. So whether it be little things I know about nutrition or little things I know about strength training, I'm always up for giving my advice. I'm not saying it's always to the T correct, but you know, if you take what little bit you can, you'll get further. And I feel like within any community, the more you give, the better, you know what I mean? So I just want to give my advice and my knowledge to other people so they can do what they want and get to the goals that they want in life.
Oh, that's amazing. And that, I think that makes a great coach. Like anyone who's like totally invested in the other person's goals and mission and what they want to accomplish as well. And like, that is incredible. And I know that's you, like you're posting content too, like frequently, like helping to inspire people, and you are inspiring people through all the training that you're doing. So it's an honor to have you on the coach and the team. And I know you're going to help many, many runners, in your career, my friend. So I'm super proud of you and excited to see what's next for you for sure. And by the way, if anyone wants to get in touch with like Liz or, you know, follow her on Instagram or anything, I'll put a link to her socials. She also writes an amazing blog as well, which definitely suggest like reading out some of her pieces on there. They're so good and just so in depth. So I'll also link that in the show notes too. And again, if you want to work with Liz, please email everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. Again, if you are on the wait list for Everyday Ultra Coaching, you do have a priority, but if you want to inquire about a spot to work with Liz, let me know and we can set that up and we can hop on a call together. But anyways, Liz, for the last question that you know is coming at you, I know you've been listening to the show, so you've had plenty of time to prepare for this one and you've already given a lot of great tips, but because the show is called Everyday Ultra and our whole mantra is helping our listeners be better endurance athletes every day, my question to you, my friend, is what can our listeners do every single day to be better endurance athletes?
Well, since I've been on the mental kick, I will definitely have to go with just knowing yourself mentally to be able to get through all the struggles that you're going to go through, whether it be in a long run or in a race or just in life. Like what you say to yourself is very powerful. And I want everyone to realize that and then use that to their benefit, you know, just win that mental game that we go through in life.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you like talk about like the mental piece, because it's like, yeah, we talked all about the physical things as well, but in the end of the day, having a good mindset and winning the mental game, as you put it, is the key to success, my friend. So Liz, thank you for coming on. Thank you for inspiring people. Thank you for all you do for the ultra running community. And excited to continue the build with you to Javelin 100 and your future 200 and the unnamed 5-year goal as well too.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Joe. It's been an honor to be on.
Oh, honor to have you on. Thanks so much for being here.